A small hotel on the edge of Dartmoor, December 28th, 1950.
Say, Evelyn, look at this magazine. Pictures of the Grahamsland expedition I was talking about. SS Curlew.
How can you go on an expedition like that, John? It's really so silly to think of things that are absolutely out of the question.
Everything that I suggest seems to be out of the question.
Well, in a year or two...
Oh, a year, and another year, and another year. Dr. Gresford says I'm decidedly better, and I feel better. Have you once heard me cough this last week? Have you? I challenge you. And besides, I've put on weight. That's a fact.
All the better.
Colonel Selby shot another duck this morning. Simply delighted with himself. Letty's furious, of course. She's got to pluck the beastly thing. Ha ha, excellent. Still snowing.
What's excellent about it?
Lovely, lovely snow. And an east wind, too. It will lie. We shall be snowed up. No food, no oil, no coal. Iron rations, my hearty.
We've masses of coal.
Oh, glorious snow from heaven. Bury us all in your whiteness. Oh, I get so tired of the Devonshire lushness. It's enervating. I've often thought I should be a damn sight better if we lived in some sort of bitter, bracing place, like Aberdeen. Doesn't anyone want a historic Georgian gem on the edge of delightful Dartmoor, skillfully converted into a private hotel?
It gives us a living, remember? Is that to be thankful for?
Living? It's more like being buried alive.
Yes. Go and get a couple of logs, will you?
I say, are you by any chance losing your heart to Herr Julius Winterhalter?
Don't be absurd.
But why not? He's got considerable charm. Those soft brown eyes. I like him.
Don't laugh at me.
I'm not laughing. On the contrary, I'm delighted. Oh, good evening, Mrs. White. Still snowing.
Oh, dreadful. I wonder if I might have a glass of hot water.
Certainly.
Oh, and Evelyn.
Yes?
You will see my hot water bottle is really hot tonight, won't you?
Wasn't it hot last night?
Not really hot, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not complaining. I just mentioned it.
I'll see to it myself.
I thank you.
Snowing. You might have quite a fall, yes. After tea, I put some crumbs out for the birds. Listen. Do you hear that?
What is it?
I thought I heard wild geese passing over. That's usually a sign of hard weather. This morning, I shot a duck.
Oh, why?
Well, I thought it might make a welcome addition to our diet.
In a way, it seems curious to feed some birds and shoot others.
Hmm? Yes. Well, if one thinks of it logically, that is so. But there it is. I was brought up to use a gun. I shot my first grouse in Dumfriesshire when I was 12 years old.
And the Italians have a saying that every bird thinks its own nest beautiful.
Extraordinary race, the Italians.
Almost anything, in fact, is preferable to a communal nest, especially one where people smoke in the bathroom.
Oh, I do assure you, Mrs. White,
I wasn't accusing you, Colonel Selby. I know exactly who it was. It wasn't a man at all. And why she stays here, why she doesn't go back to London, where she belongs. No doubt I should be told that that's a very snobbish way to talk. The longer I live, the more I dislike modern bad manners and inconsiderate behaviour.
Well, I suppose she wants to be near her sister. And then, you know what happened to her in the war. She says she still gets nightmares in London.
Of course, I used not to be so easily irritated by other people. But when one has known independence, when one has lived all one's life among gentle people, here one has simply the privacy of an animal at the zoo.
Oh, come now, Mrs. White, come now.
No, please, forgive me.
It's coming down as thick as anything. You'd be lost on the moor in no time. I wouldn't care to be in a car, either. While I was getting the logs, I heard a tree fall in the drive.
You talk as if you liked the snow, John.
Liked it? Yes. Yes, I do like it. I don't quite know why, but I've always enjoyed stories of Arctic travels and exploration. Although polar expeditions don't benefit anyone much, there's something rather heroic, don't you think, in this struggling against cold and pain just for the sake of struggling? Just for the sake of triumphing over terrible difficulties? Oh, that's Mother. The latest theory is that I talk too much. Soon I expect to be rationed to monosyllables. Excuse me.
Poor boy. He talks of polar expeditions and he's not fit to do an ordinary day's work.
Well, what do you think of the weather? Quite a change, isn't it?
Oh, do sit here, Mrs. Ashworth.
No, don't move, please, Colonel.
Oh.
Anyway, it's snug in here, that's one thing. Come and sit by me, Mr. Winterhalter, and then the magic circle will be complete.
No, thank you. I have a letter to write.
He says the snow reminds him of Vienna.
When I was a child, I was excited each year by the first snows of winter.
Mm-hmm.
I woke in the morning, and I was in the room, I remember, a particular sort of light, quite different from the usual greyness of winter. And when one looked out, there it was, the snow, whiteness everywhere. But that was in the old days, of course. The bad old days.
Vienna has seen some misfortunes since the end of the Habsburgs.
Yes, yes, the storms of history have swept over, as you might say. Now it's like a beautiful woman who has grown old and tired and wrinkled and fallen on hard times. How sad.
Your glass of hot water, Mrs. White.
Thank you, Evelyn.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Bonne nuit. Buona notte.
Well, now for a game of patience. One can't beat all the time.
And it looks as if we're going to have to stay indoors quite a lot now.
Wherever did I put the cards? Oh, yes. Here we are. Colonel's gone to sleep again. So always going to sleep nowadays. I suppose when one's 73, there's not very much else one can do. Since his brother died 2 years ago, I don't believe he's had more than half a dozen letters. Well, yes, he did have 4 cards at Christmas. Ah, 2 red kings and 2 red queens, isn't that a nuisance? It's funny to think how life changes. There he is, DSOMC and all the rest of it. And all he can do is to potter about by himself and feed crumbs to the birds. Good gracious.
Yes, what is it?
It's all right, Colonel. Don't be alarmed. It's only the bell. Though who could be ringing at this time of night? I think I'll go and have a look. Yes, it's motorists. Their car's broken down in the snow. I expect they'll want to stay the night.
What sort of people?
Well, I only got a glimpse, but they look rather smart. Fur coats and all the rest of it. 2 women and a man.
Smart. How tiresome.
This is the lounge, Mrs. Ackerster. Of course, we don't cater for many guests, especially in the winter.
Lounge?
But it's a most handsome room. Oh, and it's got a fire.
That's everything, everything.
Oh,
please, please, don't anybody move on any account. Come along, Robert.
Do sit here.
How kind. How very kind. Tony, darling, come on the floor. This is my daughter, Tonetta, everybody. Oh, and my husband.
Good evening.
I'd really resign myself to freezing to death in the ditch. We skidded into the side of that nasty little bridge down the road, and there we were. Benighted in the snow.
Shocking.
What an experience.
experience.
How far we've had to walk, I couldn't say. Through an absolute blizzard. You couldn't see a yard in front of your face.
About half a mile.
Oh, don't keep saying that, Robert, dear. It must be much nearer three. And it felt like 10. Look at my legs. Absolutely soaked. Drenched.
As to accommodation, Mrs. Hunt.
Oh, now, look at us simply monopolizing the fire. It's really too bad. We do apologize. We really do. It's a dreadful intrusion.
As to accommodation...
Please sit down, everybody. Please. Please.
Darling, you're interrupting all the time.
No, I'm not, dear. What do you mean?
I was just going to say we have one double room ready, though it's not a front room, I'm afraid.
Four walls and a bed would be the very height of luxury for us, Mrs...
Daly.
Mrs. Daly. Wouldn't it, Robert?
The question of the other room...
Oh, Tony will be happy in any little room, won't you, darling?
Of course, of course.
Don't worry at all about that.
The trouble is, the other rooms are in the part of the house we closed for the winter. I wouldn't care to put anyone there tonight. I was going to suggest, just for one night, if she could manage on the sofa.
But of course. It's perfect.
Tomorrow night, of course.
Oh, I hope we shan't have to trouble you tomorrow night, Mrs. Daly.
I shall sleep on the sofa. Yes, the young lady can have my room.
Oh, but how very, very kind and chivalrous.
Helen, I really don't.
Oh, but I couldn't.
Well,
really.
I accept this gentleman's extremely kind offer on behalf of my daughter. Let me say how extremely obliged I am to you, Mr...
Winterhalter.
Winterhalter? Like the painter?
Precisely. Yes, like the painter.
Oh, Tonetta, thank Mr. Winterhalter properly for his great kindness. This is my daughter, Mr. Winterhalter. Tonetta Lundy.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Winterhalter.
Oh, and I've always pronounced it Winterhalter. Her father was Italian. Soup, hot soup, would be really delicious, if such a thing were wildly possible.
Well, cocoa or tea?
Cocoa or tea.
Tony? Tea, please.
And I'll have tea. And some toast, I think, or a few biscuits, or a sandwich. Thank you so much. We are upsetting you, aren't we?
My daughter will get the rooms ready.
Then everything's arranged. Robert, dear... You must telephone the Maitlands.
Yes.
They'll be dreadfully anxious.
Yes.
Tell them we'll come along tomorrow for lunch, or tea would be safer, perhaps.
Well, that will depend on the weather, dear, and how much the car's damaged.
But we can't stay here, dear. You could see it's quite impossible.
Well, it may be a question of force majeure.
The roads may be blocked for weeks.
Oh, don't be silly, dear. We were supposed to be going over for the New Year to some friends near Yelverton. The fact is, of course, one ought to stay in one's own house over Christmas. It's madness to move. Madness.
Would you care to see your rooms? And what about the luggage?
Oh, I'll take the suitcases.
Help him, Tony, dear.
Oh, all right.
I'm not going up now. I must get warm.
So, excuse me, please. I will just go and tidy up.
Oh, warm. Oh, what an adventure. Do tell me, are you all staying here for Christmas?
We live here.
Live here? Permanently?
Yes.
Really? How amusing. But of course it does solve the servant problem, doesn't it?
It solves quite a number of problems, more or less.
And it's very nice, very comfortable, I'm sure. It's a beautiful room. Even if the furniture isn't exactly...
Did you manage to carry some of your luggage?
Well, my husband did. Thank goodness he's immensely strong. What poor rents of my first husband, that is, would have done, I really don't know. I think he'd have lain down in the snow and simply given up the ghost, poor lamb.
Here's the tea and some sandwiches.
Ah, and so you are the son of the house?
Yes.
Quite an Adonis.
I beg your pardon?
Lovely. How old are you?
I'm 22. Let me know if you want any more sandwiches.
22. Oh, to be 22. Has he got a weak chest?
Yes.
I was afraid so. He has that heartbreakingly romantic look.
Poor Mr. Winterhalter. He's tidying his room madly. Oh, it's too kind.
Ah, he's a lamb. I saw it at once. It would be really unkind not to let him give up his bed.
Nothing is so disappointing as to have one's chivalrous offers refused. I suppose he's a Jew?
Just an Austrian, I believe.
Ah, delightful people. Feckless and incompetent, but such dears. They ought to be preserved. The whole of Austria should be taken over by the National Trust. Now for some tea. Oh, won't you all have a cup? And hadn't we better introduce ourselves? I'm Helen Lancaster.
Mrs. White.
Mrs. Ashworth.
Selby. Colonel Selby.
Ah, so you are a colonel. I was right. Not everyone would have spotted it, but I flatter myself I never mistake a retired soldier. There's something about them. They look properly washed. Do you find it dull here? Perhaps you don't mind.
Well, at 73, one's activities are necessarily somewhat limited. One reads, potters about, sleeps.
Of course, of course. One ought to live quietly. Quietly and with dignity.
Thank you. I can carry them myself. Excuse me.
Ah, oh, Mr. Winterhalter. Oh. What a shame, all those bedclothes and pillows. Now, I insist that you have a cup of tea and a sandwich.
Well, it's quite all right, no trouble.
I hear you come from my dearly beloved Austria.
You know Austria?
Good heavens, man, how many, many times have I been to Vienna? And Salzburg for the Mozart. Enchanting country.
If you'll excuse me.
She's rather quiet, isn't she? I expect I upset her by making so much noise.
Oh, she keeps herself very much to herself. Mrs. White does. Rather superior, you know.
It's an interesting face, but unhappy somehow.
Come on and have some tea, Bobby.
Oh, please,
Terry. Oh, don't give him tea or he'd kick all night.
Darling, I must have tea. You know, Winterhalter, I really do feel rather badly about this social
norm. Don't go on about it, dear. It pleases him to give up his bed. Don't you understand?
Yes, it's just so.
It wouldn't please me.
Mr. Winterhalter isn't English. He's a romantic like me. Tell me, that's rather cross-looking girl. Is that Mrs. Daly's daughter?
Yes, that's Evelyn.
Her fiancé was killed in Germany just a week before the end of the war. Quite a tragedy.
Why do these things happen to people? A girl like that must wonder if there's any coherence or purpose in the universe at all. What regiment were you in, Colonel Selby?
I was a gunner, a horse gunner for many years.
I had a friend called Claude Wilmington, who commanded something or other called the Chestnut Troop. Oh, such uniforms he used to wear. Oh, that was years ago, of course.
Oh, I knew old Claude. I've got some photographs of him upstairs in the attic, if you'd care to see them sometime.
You haven't? How absurd. Of course I should love to see them. I can't wait.
It may take a little time to dig them out. Bottom of a trunk, you know.
Oh, please don't bother now. Tomorrow.
Oh, no trouble. No trouble at all. Helen, you really shouldn't be in the attic.
Darling, it is a shame.
What nonsense. He'll enjoy digging for them. I don't suppose he's shown them to anybody for years and years. It'll be a great excitement for him.
He's got 6 or 7 albums. We've all seen them several times, except Mrs. White. Heavens, 9 o'clock already. Excuse me, won't you? It's my variety night.
Oh, what night?
In heaven's name.
On Friday nights, she always listens to some wireless program in her room.
A variety night? But of course. How amusing are they? Poor dears. Can you imagine living here and making this one's home? Oh, poor Mr. Winterhalter, how you, of all people, brought up in one of the most beautiful and civilized capitals of Europe with its art, its culture, its traditions. How you can vegetate here.
Oh.
No, no, it's too much. I can't allow it. How long have you been here?
Nearly a year.
A year?
I was rather ill a year ago, and the doctor advised somewhere quiet, so I came here. It's not too expensive, you know.
Leave it to me, Mr. Winterhalter. I shall think of something. I shall find a solution?
It is very kind of you.
Oh, must I'm warm. Oh, I suddenly feel overpoweringly sleepy. Come, dears, to bed.
You can't go yet. You've got to look at the Colonel's photographs.
You said you couldn't wait.
Well, now I can't wait to go to bed. There it is. If I looked at a single photograph, I should simply fall down unconscious. Besides, it may be hours digging them out of the attic. I'll look at them tomorrow.
Darling, you really are...
He will be just as delighted to show me them tomorrow. It'll give him something to look forward to. I'll come along now. We're keeping poor Mr. Winterhalter from his sofa, too. Gute Nacht, Herr Winterhalter. Schlafen Sie wohl.
Gute Nacht, gnädige Frau.
Charm. Now, bed.
Good night, Mr. Winterhalter.
Good night.
Good night. And many thanks.
Oh, good night.
Here's another blanket.
Oh.
This is a nice windfall, I must say. Unless they can go tomorrow, we shall have to open the other wing. All the carpets are up, too. The curtains are packed for the cleaners.
She's very charming, Mrs. Lancaster.
Oh, yes. Very. And she seems to have plenty to say. I hope this won't be too uncomfortable for you.
Oh, no, no. It's quite all right. One can tell that she has lived, traveled.
Oh, I really can't think why you gave up your bed. The girl could quite well have slept here. She's smaller than you and much younger.
Oh, well, I was pleased to.
You're too good-natured. It annoys me to see people who have everything in the world taking advantage of you.
It's a strange coincidence that tonight, just when the snow had reminded me of Austria, somebody should come here and talk of Vienna and Salzburg.
I've been reading that little German grammar you lent me. It must be wonderful to travel, speak several languages. It makes one so much more interesting to talk to. Though perhaps people like that become rather tiring after a time.
Tiring? I can't imagine that. There's such life, such gaiety. It seems to me that one could never tire of such a person.
No? Perhaps not. In any case, it doesn't matter.
Matter?
The snow will thaw and then she'll go. Tomorrow, or the next day, or the day after, she'll go. Good enough.
Hmm? What did you say? Oh. Good enough.
Whether anything could possibly be said, Evelyn, but last night, when I went up at the usual time for my bath, both bathrooms were occupied, and when one became vacant, there was no hot water left.
I'm afraid the only thing to do is try to come to some arrangement with the Lancasters. Mr. Winterhalter didn't get a bath yesterday either. Oh, there's the bread, Colonel Selby.
Oh, thank you. What I object to is the lack of consideration. After all, this is our home. The Lancasters have been here 2 days, and now they seem to own the place. This is just an hotel to them, and they feel they've a right to enjoy every amenity without consideration for others.
Snowballing. Young Daly and the girl. Ah, it's a great thing to be young.
Well, I'm afraid we're likely to be with you for a little time yet. The road's terrible. I doubt one could get up the hill, even with chains. Oh, bread for the birds, Colonel?
Yes. The trouble is to prevent the blackbirds and starlings chasing away all the tits and wrens.
Yes.
It's the law of the jungle, you know. The weakest to the wall. I shall feed them just outside the French window. You'll be able to see.
Extraordinary piece of luck that we haven't stopped so near here. I'm afraid, though, it's a mixed blessing for you. I know what it is to have one's routine upset.
No, it can't be helped. If this were an ordinary hotel, of course, it would probably not affect us at all.
Those grottos and statues in the garden, there's a suggestion of Italy.
Yes.
An interesting period architecturally, though not, of course, so essentially English as the earlier ones, Elizabethan or Tudor. I'm insular enough to prefer them myself.
Oh, I quite agree. All this is far too ornate. My husband and I had a small Elizabethan manor house near Andover.
Did you? Very delightful.
Yes, we were very fond of it. It was just the right size, you know, for a small family. At one time, I looked forward to ending my days there. Life teaches one not to plan too far ahead, doesn't it?
Or at least not to take one's planning too seriously.
My son was killed in the war.
Oh.
And then my husband died of pneumonia in 1945. Much of his money was in business in the Far East, and a great deal of it was lost.
I see.
Many people suffered similar losses during the war. My case isn't in any way exceptional. I quite realize that. And at least I have sufficient money to live quietly here. Well, it seems such a short time ago that I had a husband, a child, a house, servants, money, friends, and a varied and interesting life. And now I knit, read a little, go for little walks, sit here day after day, rather ill-tempered. I sometimes wonder to myself how and why it has happened. Oh, one shouldn't talk about these things and complain. I beg your pardon.
Please.
To listen to other people's misfortunes, it's so embarrassing. Have you been to the lake? The rhododendrons and azaleas there are beautiful in the spring.
He's only supposed to take the gentlest exercise, and there he is snowballing. And in this cold, too. Johnny! Johnny!
Oh, look at them, Mrs. Daly, throwing snowballs and tumbling about just like a couple of school children.
Oh, but he shouldn't be doing it, Mrs. Lancaster. He shouldn't, really.
Oh, but it couldn't hurt him. It couldn't possibly. The sun and the air like champagne. Oh, let them enjoy themselves. Let them laugh.
Oh, very well. But one has to listen to the doctor.
Oh, doctors. One should never take doctors seriously. What about the car, Robert?
Beyond a bent wing, I don't think there's any damage.
Is it here? Have you got it?
Got it? My dear, there's not the slightest hope of moving it without a tow, and the road's impassable for mine.
Oh, surely something. But what does it matter? I'm beginning to like it here. We shall stay and make thorough nuisances of ourselves. And I shall brush up my German with Mr. Winterhalter. Wir das nicht nett, Herr Winterhalter.
Es wäre mir ein Vergnügen mitgefallen.
Do you know, I felt terribly guilty last night, Mrs. White. I believe Tonetta and I ran off all the hot water in the house and we never got a bath. Now, did you?
The boiler's not very big, you know.
Of course it isn't. How could it be? At home, we have an enormous thing. You could drive the Queen Mary with it. Of course, it's wildly extravagant, but one must have hot water.
Yes, it's one of the comforts of life. Excuse me.
I hope I said the right thing. She looks terribly reserved and sad. Now, I should like a drink. Is there any alcohol in the house? Good heavens, we've got all that champagne in the car. Well, of course, it would have been stolen by now. On earth, didn't you fetch it up yesterday, Robert?
I did.
Did you?
I told you, dear, but you didn't listen.
Oh, now, that's exactly like me. He does all the right things, and I don't appreciate it a bit. I don't even listen. Yes. Why don't you shout at me sometimes?
You'd like that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, for goodness sake, go and change your shoes. My dear man, right. You're wet to the knees.
Yes.
And I'm not prepared to nurse you if you get pneumonia. Men are so silly. Oh, and listen, dear, do find some sherry. It will be so comforting.
Right.
What a day. Oh, how I adore the unexpected. And being here is unexpected. And, of course, you are totally unexpected, my dear Mr. Winterhalter. What's your other name?
Julius.
I shall call you Julius, and you shall call me Helen.
Helen, Since you have come, the house seems to have wakened from its sleep, and one feels that there's not only sadness in life, but happiness, too. You radiate such life, such vitality.
Vitality? Yes, I painted that. far too much, in fact. If I don't go charging through the day like a train through a tunnel, I feel depressed. I feel bored. Oh,
surely not.
And what do you know about me? Nothing. I am a shocking character, I warn you. And if there's any justice in the world, then I'm sure I shall go to hell for my sins. But I don't want to talk about myself. I want to hear about you. Tell me what you are. No, no, no. Let me guess. A writer.
No.
Artist. Musician.
Why, I used to think I was a musician. I played the piano.
You did. And you're brilliant, of course. And you shall play for us tonight. If there is one thing I really love, it's to hear the piano properly played.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I don't play any longer.
You don't? Why not?
This.
Your hand. Oh, no. Not a bullet.
A bayonet.
Dreadful. Abominable. Oh, poor hand.
You kissed it.
Oh, my poor Julius. Your face.
Helen.
What's the matter? Ah, Evelyn. The very person I wanted to see. I'm one of those tiresome people who can't sleep properly without a whole lot of pillows. I don't know why it is. If my head is too low, I wake with a stiff neck.
I don't quite know if we have any more pillows. I'll ask Mother.
Thank you so much. I wonder why she looks so cross with me. It isn't a crime to ask for more pillows. I'm sure I'd be in here as a nuisance, but good gracious me, it's only for a few days.
A few days, of course.
Oh, now you look sad. But of course we shall see each other again. You come up to London, don't you?
Not now.
Oh, but you must. Besides, I'd like to introduce you to all kinds of people who could help you and so on.
Help me?
I shall help you. Oh, yes, I shall. Now, who do I know? In the Austrian embassy. Oh, dear. Just to think of Vienna makes me feel sentimental. Does it make you sad to talk about it?
No, I can't talk to you. No one else can understand. No one else knows what it means. Oh, they know nothing and just sit here all day knitting and playing cards and calling me Winterhalter. Winterhalter. Oh, I don't mean to complain. Everybody is very kind, and after all, I'm just a foreigner in England, a displaced person. But when one meets somebody who knows something of one's country and one's language, why, then one feels grateful and excited and a little mad.
Mad? How mad?
Why, for people like us, you know, sympathy, understanding, such things act like drugs, like sweet poisons. We become intoxicated. We see visions. We dream. You must be careful, please.
Careful? My dear man, you don't know what you're asking. I've never been careful in my life. Tell me your dreams. Do you think I would laugh at them?
Oh, if you were free. With you, I could begin life again. I would have courage, energy, confidence. I would work, I would slave for you, throw my whole life and being at your feet for a smile, for a touch of your hand. Oh, no, what am I saying? I am simply dreaming. Such wild, impossible fancies came suddenly into my head.
The colonel's still waiting for his bird.
Excuse me.
Robert, it suddenly occurs to me that tomorrow is New Year's Eve. We must have a party. We've 6 bottles of champagne, and it's not the slightest use taking them back to London.
One feels sorry for some of these people. For that Austrian refugee, for instance, what future has he? He can barely take his eyes off you because you've been to Vienna and speak a little German. I warn you, Helen, you'll have another heartbroken admirer on your hands in a minute.
Now, is it my fault, Robert? Do be fair. What have I done but show him the most ordinary friendliness?
Oh, my dear, don't ask me. What have you done? What do you do?
When I meet nice, sympathetic, cultured people, I simply have to give sympathy for sympathy. You disapprove. I know you do.
My dear Helen.
You think I'm immoral. You can't deny it.
Immoral?
Well, in a sense, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes think that all really attractive, generous, and lovable women have something of the hard at about.
Robert!
Oh, I don't mean it offensively.
Oh, isn't that delightful? Isn't that typical? So polite, so English. I don't mean it offensively. And you're so right, darling. You're perfectly right. I am a wanton, shameless creature. And you are so patient and so well-behaved. And I treat you quite shamefully. Oh. Yes, I do. Quite disgracefully. Aren't you tired of me? Aren't you sorry you didn't marry some really nice, virtuous, dependable young English spinster? Aren't you? Aren't you, darling?
Helen.
Nobody's looking. Don't be so respectable. Do be careful, Tony. Do be careful. Oh, she'll be nearly over that time. Don't go under the trees. There. What did I say?
Has she hurt herself?
Not a bit. Well, I'm beginning to feel like a nice hot cup of tea, Colonel.
Yes, I think I'll come with you.
It won't go off, will it, your gun?
Go off?
Well, I'm terrified of firearms.
Oh, no. See? Empty.
Yes, but I believe even empty ones sometimes. Dreadful accidents happen. Here comes Mrs. White. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, she walks down to the river to the bridge and back. And on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, she goes the other way to the village. Lovely afternoon, isn't it, Mrs. White?
Yes.
Mrs. White?
No, don't move, please. You have any sport, Colonel Selby? I thought I heard two shots.
I fired twice at a snipe and missed it clean.
I heard a cocked pheasant somewhere.
Now, if you could shoot that.
It's a pleasant noise in the stillness of a winter evening. The wood seems silent and deserted, and then you hear suddenly this noise of life. And the girl skates quite nicely.
Yes. And, of course, Mr. Winterhalter is there with her mother. Oh, if he knew what a fool he was making of himself. I've never seen anyone come over quite so sloppy. He gazes at her like a spaniel.
He's very attractive, very self-confident. I imagine she's always been a success.
Rolling in money. And tonight we're all drinking their champagne, 6 bottles.
No doubt it's amusing to astonish the bourgeois. Oh, it's chilly. I shall go in.
She can't bear them. Can't bear them. She's jealous, of course. I believe she was pretty well off some time ago, and she's never got over it. Some people are lucky in life, and others aren't. But it's no good complaining. You've got to be philosophical.
My wife was very good at skating. Oh. To glide about on ice with the sun shining, the snow glistening all round and a band playing. It's an exhilarating sensation. Ooh.
One can imagine what it was like once upon a time when all these walks were beautifully kept and there were gardeners to trim the hedges and sweep up the dead leaves. But at my age, I rather like this atmosphere of decaying splendour. It's melancholy, of course. Restful. I'm a romantic, Mr. Winterhalter.
Ah, evidently.
Oh, there, now, I've lost one of my nice new gloves.
Perhaps you dropped it by the lake. Shall I just stroll back?
I'll go back. I will, with pleasure. No, I'll go.
Oh, please, don't anybody bother. I'm so careless.
No trouble. No trouble at all.
I'll go to the lake, Colonel. I know where we were walking.
Oh, well, I'll go the other way.
Oh, there. Now they're both gone. I've disturbed everybody. Colonel Selby! Colonel Selby!
It's no use shouting. He's a bit deaf. I'm going in for tea.
Will you tell them I'm not at all sure I had them both with me? Thank you so much.
Robert, what's the time?
4:15.
I should like to leave here tomorrow. For one thing, I'm bored, and secondly, there is an atmosphere about this place that makes me sad. Oh, it's mournful. I don't like it. Take me in, dear. Tomorrow there must be a change. We must have a thaw. We really must.
I'll arrange it.
I came to fetch Johnny. He's down at the lake still. Thank you. It's getting so late.
Johnny! Johnny!
Seriously, surely something can be done about the car. With chains, for instance, we might at least get the spark of the open.
I have found it!
Oh. Found what?
Oh, her glove. She lost her glove. I found it over there by the pond.
How clever of you. She's just gone in. You better run along quickly after her.
Yes. Evelyn, you look so angrily at me.
Angry? I'm not angry. But I'm sorry to see you making such a fool of yourself.
Is it very noticeable?
Noticeable? Can't you see they're all talking about it and laughing at you? Yes, laughing at you. She's only amusing herself with you because she's bored.
It's not true.
To imagine that she loves you, is even interested in you. It's so absurdly naive, so childish. Do you think she hasn't a dozen more attractive admirers in London, and lovers too, probably?
No, that's shameful. It's outrageous.
Just because she's elegant, just because she speaks half a dozen words of German and has been to Vienna, you're hypnotized by her. Don't you see? It can all come to nothing, nothing at all. You're so kind, so sensitive. I can't bear to see you losing your head for a woman like that. What can it end in but unhappiness? And meanwhile, everybody laughs at you and despises you for being such a fool. Oh, I think I shall always hate snow now as long as I live.
Evelyn, I must ask you please to mind your own business. You have no right to speak to me like this.
A year ago, you were glad enough for me to speak to you. When everyone else ignored you or made fun of you. Now this woman comes along with her wealth and her continental glitter and you discover I'm just a dull, uninteresting creature who must be treated as a servant and mind her own business. Oh, I'm not going to run after you as if I were a schoolmistress.
I can't help it. I tell you, I can't help it.
What can't you help, Mrs. Inderhalter? Do tell us.
Oh, no, nothing. No, nothing.
Goodness, what's that? Is the house on fire?
It's only Mother ringing for tea. She's madly punctual with meals. Yes, we're 7 minutes late.
It's no use. I can't hurry.
When did you learn to skate?
Oh, ages ago. I was taught at St. Moritz.
I'm supposed to go to Switzerland. It's pretty expensive.
Well, there are pensions and little places where they charge practically nothing at all. Why not come? I'm going at the end of January.
Oh, I should like to more than anything in the world. But I don't suppose for a minute that I shall be able to.
Why ever not?
Well, you know, I'm supposed to have a weak chest. Last winter, I was in bed for 4 months.
Oh.
And I'm not supposed to get tired and so on. Oh. Well, of course, I'm much, much better now. I only cough occasionally.
Johnny!
Yes, coming! You know, I feel perfectly certain that if I could get right away from here for perhaps a year or so, I should soon be completely cured. Oh, I'm so tired of this place, Tonetta. Of course, it's imagination. But some days I have the impression that the trees, the ivy, the undergrowth and the weeds are all going to grow higher and higher
until they cover the house and choke us. Perhaps it seems to you quite a simple matter to go to Switzerland. But for us, Switzerland is about as accessible as the end of a rainbow.
Suppose I lend you the money. Say, £50.
£50?
For that matter, I could give it to you without noticing it, if you'd accept it.
Give it to me?
Well, why not? I'm rich, you're poor. It seems quite natural. If you need the money, why not take it? Why not?
Johnny, dear, the time. Didn't you hear me call?
It's my fault, Mrs. Daly. I was keeping him. I've been trying to persuade him to come to Switzerland with some friends of mine next month.
Switzerland? Well, really, I think that's a matter for the doctor to decide.
It's so easy for me.
It's very kind of you, but of course we couldn't consider that at all. Tea's been on the table for 10 minutes, Miss Landy.
I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to interfere. It was just an idea.
It's really such impertinence of people just because they have money to think it gives them the right to arrange other people's affairs.
She meant it kindly.
Haven't I always done my best for you? Haven't I?
Oh, yes, Mother, yes, yes, yes. For goodness sake, don't let's talk about it. It was only an idea.
I don't want to deprive you of anything that would do you good, dear. If the doctor thinks you should go to Switzerland, then go you shall, whatever sacrifices we have to make. But you know what he said, dear. You must rest. You must go to bed early and avoid all excitement. Try to be content to live quietly, Johnny.
Live quietly? Yes, but what for, Mother? In God's name, what for? To creep through the world in cotton wool, never putting one's nose outside to smell what life is like. If that's the only life I can ever look forward to, then I'd just as soon not live at all.
Johnny. Oh, Johnny.
Oh, there, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it, Mother. It was just an explosion, you know. Of course I'll be patient. There, don't cry, darling. I was only joking.
Oh, my dear.
You're perfectly right, of course. And I must live quietly. Don't worry. I'll be patient, you'll see. I'll be patient.
Robert, dear, we're all dying of thirst. For heaven's sake, do pass the bottle.
Just a second, dear.
Well, look. If I drink any more, I shan't be able to tell one card from another.
I suppose she's never drunk champagne before.
I beg your pardon?
I can't shout it. Oh, 11:30, and personally, I am ready for bed.
Nobody's going to bed until after midnight on New Year's Eve. Robert, dear, poor Mrs. White has had nothing to drink all evening.
Oh, well, soon put that right.
Yes. Thank you, but I have had 4 glasses already.
Johnny, dear, it's so late.
Mrs. Daly, a glass of champagne.
No, thank you very much. I'm afraid wines and spirits don't agree with me.
Just a little longer, Mrs. Daly.
It's a special occasion.
Oh, very well, then. A little longer.
I've never felt better. I should take to drinking champagne regularly.
Splendid.
I've had too much already, you know.
Well, for once, I don't think it'll hurt you.
Oh, very well, then.
There we are.
Thank you.
Hark
at Mrs. Ashworth. But she's very good-hearted.
I must go back to the game. Mm. Excuse me.
I should go to sleep if we don't finish this rather soon. Rise and shine, Rise and shine, dear. It's your deal.
Rise and shine is extraordinary about from expressions.
Now, Julius, what were we talking about?
The future. Please tell me the future.
Now, let me look in your hand. Let me reflect. There's nothing like champagne for inspiring clairvoyance. I see a change in your fortunes, followed by a series of journeys.
Yes, yes.
And you mustn't allow circumstances to dishearten you.
Too hard.
yourself in.
I see clear signs of a new happiness in your hand. Worry and loneliness are behind you, and you are about to enter, as it were, the gateway of adventure.
Hooray!
Be quiet, Tonetta.
He's swallowing every word, aren't you, Mr. Windorty? He's quite spellbound.
No, please.
Tell me something now, Mrs. Lancaster, something really wonderful. Tell me I'm going to marry a beautiful young man with 2,000 a year and live happily ever after.
It's an interesting hand. I should say your character is full of strange contradictions. Your personality is complicated.
Oh, imagine that.
Your line of life is strong. I don't see any sign of serious illness. Mm.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
And that's true in vino veritas.
I see quite a happy marriage, but not for a few years. You must be patient. Your heartline suggests that there is quite a lot of happiness in store for you.
Happiness? Johnny, do you hear there's happiness in store for you?
Hallelujah!
And shall I be rich? Do tell me I shall be rich.
You will not.
Oh, well, I don't really mind as it happens. Money brings its own troubles, doesn't it?
I can't see any more.
Thank you so much. Happiness is in store for me. After all, I suppose it's possible.
Fill my glass, Julia says, dear.
Of course.
And tell me, when you're coming up to stay with us in London, how about the week after next? Tony, what night are we going to Covent Garden for the Mozart?
The 11th.
Well, then you must come up on the 10th and you shall come with us. It isn't Salzburg or Vienna, but still, it's adorable music. De vieni non tardaro, gioia bella. What elegance, what grace. You shall stay a week or 10 days, and I'll introduce you to some delightful friends of mine who'll make you feel a little less of a stranger. Now, he was our secretary to the embassy in the days of that poor, unhappy little doll foot.
It is so kind of you.
Kind? It'll be lovely. And we'll poke around the art galleries together and be quite bohemian.
It's not kind, you know.
I beg your pardon.
Playing with people's hopes and dreams. You shouldn't do it, Mrs. Lancaster.
Oh, my dear girl. What nonsense.
You're strong. It doesn't matter to you, but most of us spend all our time trying not to hope for what's quite unattainable. Trying to be content with what we have. It's not kind to make us dream of the waters of the moon, of all kinds of happiness that are out of reach. Why do you come here to disturb us all?
Evelyn!
Poor dear, she's overexcited.
Oh, you think you're going to Switzerland, don't you, John? And Mr. Winterhalter thinks... Well, really, I don't know what nonsense he thinks, something ridiculous.
Please,
and
please.
I'm to be married and live happily ever after one day. Such splendid futures are waiting for us all next year, sometime, never.
I think perhaps she should go to bed.
Why don't you leave us alone? We aren't your sort of people at all, you know. We're just dull little people leading dull little lives in a backwater. Don't stare at me, John. I'm quite all right. Why don't you go on with your game?
Wouldn't you like to go to bed?
What a beautiful dress that is. Is it real silk? Oh, yes, it is. Mine's real imitation wool.
It's very nice.
Do you think so? I'll change with you if you like. I've only had it for about 7 years.
Evelyn.
Now, come along, dear. We'll go upstairs together, and you'll have a nice lie down.
What's the matter, Mrs. Ashworth?
You take an aspirin and pop into bed, and you'll be as right as rain in the morning.
I don't want to pop anywhere, and I don't want to see the new year in. I expect it will look exactly like the old one. I don't see the sense of us sitting here drinking and being sentimental just because another stupid year is starting. Now, if you could put back an old one occasionally, that might be worth celebrating. There are one or two old years I can remember that I wouldn't mind having over again. Well, there's one, anyway. But the new year, you can have it. All of you, I don't want it. It's no good to me.
Well, there's a cheerful way to talk. Now, you say good night, dear, and come along with me. There's a good girl.
Good night. Good night. Good night, Mrs. Lancaster, and thank you so much for inviting Johnny and me to your party.
Good night, and I hope you'll feel better in the morning.
Schlafen Sie wohl, Herr Winterhalter. You see, I speak German, too. Sprechen, sprach,
gesprochen.
That's right, dear. Oh. Come along.
I'm not in the least sleepy. Gute Nacht, meine Damen und Herren. Schlafen Sie wohl.
I am so sorry. She doesn't usually... I hope you don't think...
My dear boy, I think nothing at all. It's all of no kind of significance whatsoever.
I haven't heard her speak as much as that in the 3 years I've been here.
Well, then we've achieved something. That's all to the good.
She wouldn't let me take her upstairs. She said I was to go back and enjoy myself. Poor thing. Just had one too many, I'm afraid. As a matter of fact, I feel a little bit silly myself. Don't you, Mrs. White?
I do not, as it happens.
Well, there's no need to bite my head off. There's no need to get on your high horse. I dare say you do think I'm rather a vulgar sort of creature, but there it is. You must make the best of it. We all have to live in that station of life to which it has pleased God to call us.
Fiddlesticks!
It is not fiddlesticks.
A glass of wine, Robert.
Oh, yes.
I quite agree, Mrs. Ashworth. The rich man in his castle, the poor man at his gate. Each has his place in the scheme of things.
God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. Boot, saddle, to horse and away!
I beg your pardon, what was that?
That was Browning.
Ah, Browning.
I rather like Browning.
Of course you do.
Yes, of course he does. He's 22 years old and all his life before him. I'm 65 and I naturally prefer something a little more adult, shall we say. Something that gets rather nearer to the heart of things.
You assume sadness is at the heart of things, whereas I see gaiety. That's the difference between us.
It's not the only one. Our circumstances are hardly similar, are they? You're still young enough to live for the future. I'm not. One day you too may be left only the pleasures of recollection. I should advise you to bear that in mind.
Oh, really, be sermonizing. And on New Year's...
Now, Helen, I think this would be an excellent moment to start talking about something quite different.
Well, I'm sure I don't care what I talk about.
What's the time?
5 minutes to midnight.
Oh.
In 5 minutes... We shall stand on the threshold of a new year, my friends.
Well, it's been a very jolly evening.
A jolly evening. He hasn't been conscious for more than 10 minutes.
There's still a bottle of champagne.
Well, then pass it in mercy's name. I parched. I don't know why, but the end of the year always excites me somehow.
Time like a never-rolling stream.
Oh, let's make a noise. Let's have a little life and gaiety. Turn the wireless. Right. We can't let the poor old year slink out unwept, unhonored, and unsung. Roll back the carpet. Oh, yes. There. That's better.
I haven't danced for years, but I don't mind trying. Come on, Mr. Winterhold.
Oh, splendid. Pleasure.
Splendid. Oh, goodness knows why I'm so noisy and excited.
Dreadful noise. Quite dreadful.
Well, really, Mrs. Weiss.
So typical.
Don't you think that's a little high-handed? Why shouldn't the young people dance and amuse themselves for once?
I have no objection to them dancing, but I object very much to that vulgar, ugly noise.
Well, how can we dance without music?
Try to be a little understanding. Didn't you like to dance when you were young?
If you still wish to dance, I will play for you.
Can you believe me?
Oh, I'm beginning to like this woman. Dance, everybody. Come on. You should be good at this, Julius. Come on.
Thank you. Shall we, Tanessa?
Of course.
I'm afraid we're keeping you from your bed, Colonel.
It isn't so much my head as my digestion. It's always the same after sprouts.
Stop. Stop, everybody. Listen.
Oh, yes, the bells. The bells are ringing out the old year. Glasses, everybody. Yes. You must drink a toast to it. Oh, what a moment this is. It always makes me feel emotional. One is conscious suddenly of time passing, of standing poised between the past and the future.
Silence, everybody.
She always makes a speech on New Year's Eve, John.
Shh. Midnight. Hail and farewell. Oh, you mustn't mind me being sentimental and silly. I can't help it on New Year's Eve. May the new year bring you all nearer to your heart's desires. May those who have much to hope for not be disappointed. And may those who have little find contentment and serenity. May you find health and vigor, John, my dear boy, and a new interest in life. And may our Austrian friend discover a companionship in England that will cheer him in his exile.
Thank you.
Oh, it's been such a pleasant, cheerful evening. Oh, I feel quite warm with friendship. Thank you all for your kindly welcome to us. And now, let us all raise our glasses and drink to the future. Ladies and gentlemen, the new year!
The new year!
Oh, join hands, join hands, everybody.
Never brought to mind should old acquaintance be forgot for the sake of old time. For old hands side, my friend, for old hands side, we'll take a cup of kindness yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, I should just like to say, on behalf of the inmates...
Yes.
Well, that's the word, I mean. How grateful we are to Mr. and Mrs. Lancaster for arranging this very jolly party for us tonight and providing us with so much delicious wine.
Here, here, most generous.
And I'm sure we've all enjoyed it very much, and it's certainly made a nice change.
For they are jolly good pair.
For they are jolly good pair. For they are jolly good pair.
Very kind. We do thank you. We do indeed.
It's raining. Huh? It's raining. I've just been out and there's a soft, wet wind and everything's thawing and dropping and the snow's sliding off the roof and off the trees. Look, I'm quite wet.
Oh, thank goodness. Then it looks as if we shall be able to go tomorrow.
Yes, you'll be able to go tomorrow.
Delightful. Speed the parting guests.
I didn't mean...
Oh, why don't you go to bed, spoiling everything?
Oh, she didn't mean... I'm sure...
Johnny, dear, bedtime.
Yes, all right, Mother, all right. Thank you so much, Mrs. Lancaster. And thank you, sir.
I did enjoy it. I really did.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I'll see you before you go, Tonetta.
Of course. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, I'm suddenly so sleepy. I can hardly keep my eyes open. Bed, Robert, dear.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning we must pack.
So, Helen, tomorrow you will be gone.
But we shall see you again. I hope we'll see all of you whenever you come to London. Look in whenever you like. We're just off Grosvenor Square. Where's my bag?
Here.
Thank you, dear. Good night, Colonel Selby. Oh, don't settle down, whatever you do, or you'll fall off to sleep again.
I'm going to bed at once.
Good night. Good night. Good night, Mrs. White. Isn't she funny? Such a character. She intrigues me enormously. I'm only sorry that I didn't get to know her better.
Good night, Mrs. Winterhalter.
Good night.
After you, Colonel.
Oh, thanks.
Good night, Winterhalter.
Good night.
Harry A. Shuey, 1943. I must remember that. One day when I'm engaged to marry my handsome young man, I shall make him take me to a restaurant and I shall say to him, I want a bottle of Perrier Jouet 1943. young man, whatever would he say? Perhaps I shall keep this bottle and sleep with it under my pillow.
Good night.
Good night. Poor silly Mr. Winterhalter. Did you think I was rude, Mrs. White? I didn't mean to be. Or did I, perhaps? I don't know. Nothing seems to matter tonight. Nothing. But I'm glad they're going tomorrow. They don't belong in a place like this among people like us. It's as if some beautiful swans had suddenly landed on a duck pond, and all the ugly ducks felt envious of their fine feathers. The girl is beautiful, isn't she? Perhaps I could be pretty if I didn't always feel so tired, so bad-tempered. I didn't have to work so hard every day. Every day. My face is beginning to get quite lined, and I'm not yet 30. Don't you think life is unfair to some people?
It's stupid to talk like that. Life isn't fair or unfair or tragic or comic or anything else. Life is life. That's all. One must accept it.
I like Chopin. Do you know the sad little prelude all on one note? Yes. That's the one. Go on playing. He used to play that. How I wish I could sit here like this forever. If only the morning would never come. So typical of Devonshire, isn't it? One day it's bitterly cold, and the next the wind has changed, the sun shines, the snow's disappeared.
That is so, yes.
My husband tells me you used to have a nice old house near Andover.
Yes, between Andover and Wayhill.
Ah. The next time you're in London, perhaps you'll come and see us.
Oh, I'm afraid I hardly ever go to London nowadays.
I don't think I should care to live permanently in the country. In fact, I'm sure I shouldn't. The autumn, for instance, is so dreadfully depressing. Well, Tony, dear?
It won't be long now. The breakdown people are just hauling the car out of the ditch. You haven't seen Johnny Daly, have you?
He's in bed. He's got a temperature, poor boy.
He is ill, then?
Yes, it's very sad. Oh, if Robert doesn't hurry, be sure and get to the Maitlands for lunch.
Mrs. White, I wonder if I might ask you to give John Daly a message for me, if I don't see him before we go.
Oh, darling, you can't worry Mrs. White like that. It's too silly.
It's no trouble. What would you like me to tell him?
Oh, just that I'm sorry I didn't see him again, and that I hope he gets better, and that I'll write to him. I should hate him to think I'd just gone off and forgotten.
Oh, I dare say he'll be down again in a few days. I'll tell him.
Thank you. These people make me feel guilty. We seem to have so much and they so little. Their lives seem to be so drab. I feel I should like to do something.
Do anything you please, dear, but you'll probably get no thanks for it.
Don't you ever feel that you almost hate your money and leisure?
Darling, you're so sweet, so serious. But I understand quite a lot, you know. And I'm sensible enough to realize that I can't turn the world upside down, whatever I do.
Oh, don't be so... superficial.
Don't speak to me like that, dear. I don't like it. You're a little too young to know quite what you're talking about. Silly child.
I'm just going to finish my packing.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Bitterhouse.
Good morning.
Did you hear that, Julius? Such a difficult age when they're just growing out of childhood.
So serious.
As one gets older, the mind gradually builds for itself a kind of protective armor. But when one is 18 and begins to see for the first time all the inescapable sadnesses of life, poor child, she'd like to take the whole hotel under her wing. Well, one's sorry, of course, but one must be reasonable.
Yes, one must be reasonable. Misfortune separates one from the happy and successful. It is as if one had some sort of infectious disease. So, I think perhaps it would be best for me and for you if I were to decline your kind invitation.
What nonsense, Julius. Of course you're coming. It's quite settled. The only difficulty is the date. Robert reminded me we've some people coming on the 11th, and then we're going away. So it'll have to be, say, in early March. What I'll do is write to you nearer the time, and I shan't take no for an answer. You smile as though you don't believe me. Do you think I'm insincere?
You are very kind, but I don't think I would like to come to your house. I have another suit, but it is older and shabbier than this one. And I have no evening clothes. I should feel out of place,
nonsense,
you understand?
Nonsense, nonsense. I'm sure you wouldn't. And what do clothes matter?
Oh, not very much, perhaps, except that they remind me that I am what I am. A homeless refugee receiving charity.
Now that's being touchy and difficult and silly.
Yes, well, you know, I am rather touchy and silly nowadays, it's true. And it's so boring for other people. It's so tiresome. Don't you see? There are some friendships that should be short and sweet, that should be exciting for a few hours or for a few days, and then melt away like the snow. Look at me, Helen. Will you really be very disappointed if you don't see me again? Come. Come, you're a frank woman. An honest woman. You're not afraid to tell me the truth?
Dear Julius, I shall always have a special place in my heart for you. Whenever it snows, I shall think of my little Viennese friend in Devonshire.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You are so wise. So very wise. That's the whole art of friendship, to know when to kiss and part.
Mother wants to know if you're staying for lunch or would you like sandwiches?
How kind of her. But we're supposed to be lunching with friends at Yelverton, though goodness knows when we shall get there at this rate. Is your mother anywhere about, Miss Daly?
Yes, I think she's in the kitchen.
Oh, well, I'll just go and finish packing, and then I would like to have a word with her.
Why are you looking so sad, Julius? You're going to stay with them in London, aren't you? I think I was happier here before you ever came. Much happier. What could be stupider than caring for somebody who falls head over heels in love with the first middle-aged woman who comes along?
Please, stop.
Well, isn't it true? You do love her, don't you?
Will you please stop talking about it? Please.
Perhaps you won't believe me, but I'm sorry for you. Yes, I am sorry.
I don't want your sympathy. I want nobody's sympathy, do you understand? Don't talk to me. Not now. Just leave me alone, will you?
All right. If that's what you want.
There's a fallen tree across the front drive.
Oh, your car is rescued?
Yes, it's quite all right. I've just brought it round to the stables.
Oh, well, then you will be able to move on.
I believe you're coming up to stay with us a little later on, aren't you? My wife mentioned something.
Oh, yes, yes, it was most kind of Mrs. Lancaster, but I told her this morning that I'm very much afraid I shan't be able to manage it. I'm working on an opera. It's difficult to make plans.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm very interested in music, as an amateur, I mean. And perhaps if you require any financial assistance.
For what?
Well, this opera you mentioned.
Oh yes. No, I don't think... No, but it's most kind of you to offer. It's very kind.
I just remembered that I left my gun here. I was afraid Mrs. Ashworth might have seen it. Women are funny about firearms. Very funny.
I think I shall just go for a stroll before lunch. In case I don't see you again, I'll say goodbye, Mr. Lancaster.
Oh. Goodbye, Winterhalter. And good luck.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to take a snapshot of us all sitting in the sun on New Year's Day. Mrs. White, will you come out?
Oh, must I?
Oh, please do. I want everybody.
I always look miserable in photographs.
Where's Mr. Winterhalter?
Over there somewhere.
Mr. Winterhalter?
I gather your car has been rescued, Mr. Lancaster.
Yes.
You'll be glad to leave. I expect there's really nothing whatever to do in this place.
Mr. Winterhalter!
Of course, when one lives permanently in a place, one gradually slips into a kind of routine, and then the days pass very quickly.
That's true. Just to give you an instance, Monday we have cottage pie for lunch, invariably. Well, believe me or not, one seems to be eating cottage pie about every third day. It's amazing. Yes, time certainly passes. Tempus fugit.
No sign of him. And where's the Colonel going? Oh, I wanted to tell you how very much I enjoyed the party last night, Mr. Lancaster.
Oh.
Last year, you know, it was very quiet. We were all in bed by 10:30. And I remember waking up at midnight and hearing the bells and thinking, whatever's that? It quite startled me until I realized it was only the new year coming in. And then for some reason I felt so sad I could have burst into tears. Silly.
Mrs. Lancaster says she's ready for you to take the suitcases.
Oh, thank you. I'll go and fetch them.
I don't expect you and your mother will be sorry to see them go. It must have meant a lot of extra work.
Oh, the work doesn't matter.
There should be some chance of a bath tonight, anyway.
That poor girl. She's had her nose put out of joint, I'm afraid. Our little Austrian friend quite lost his head. What on earth he imagined could possibly come of it, I really don't know. Oh, dear. I'm not used to these late nights.
I'll go back when they've gone, Mother.
So silly, dear, when you've got a temperature.
He insisted on getting up to see them go.
That's not sensible, Johnny. It really isn't.
I'll go back when they've gone.
You see? What can one do?
Oh, by the way, John, Miss Landy asked me to give you a message.
A message?
She said if she didn't see you again, she would write.
Oh. Thank you. She would write.
Yes.
She had an idea, you see, that I'd go out to Switzerland a little later.
Very good of you to help me, Colonel.
Not at all.
Well, I'll say goodbye then, Mrs. Ashworth.
Well, if you just wait a minute, I'm going to take a photograph.
Oh, but we're rather late, I'm afraid. I think I should go and get the car ready, pack the luggage.
Oh, I wanted to have everybody.
Well, if there's time, I'll come back. Oh, goodbye, Mrs. White. I only hope we haven't been too much of a nuisance.
No, of course not. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. But come back, do.
Goodbye.
Would you gentlemen mind helping me move the bench?
Oh.
See, it must be facing the sun.
Like this. It's all right, Colonel. I can manage.
John, I thought you were in bed.
No, I'm quite all right. I just wanted to see you to say that I mean to come if it can be arranged.
Oh, but that's splendid. Of course it can be arranged.
Now, the photograph.
To Lester!
Yes, somehow I'll come.
I'll write to you.
Whatever happens, I will come.
Tonetta, where's the hat box?
I've got it, darling. Mrs. Lancaster, will you come in the middle? Would you mind? We'll have a nice group.
Oh, you can't want to photograph me. Besides, we're going. Well, I'll just sit here.
for just 5 seconds and no more.
Now, if only we had Mr. Lancaster...
Oh, won't we do? It's getting so late.
Oh, very well, then. Now, keep still, please. Colonel Selby, you are pulling faces.
I'm not.
Poor man.
Now, everyone look this way. Be still. There.
Now, Tony, the car.
Goodbye, Mrs. White. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
It's been such fun.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Can you manage the suitcase, John?
Yes, of course.
There we appear to be going at last. And what a beautiful morning we're leaving behind us. Really, it is enchanting here. Quite enchanting. Oh, look. The first snowdrops, bless their hearts. The promise of spring. You know, I believe I quite envy you all living in such a place.
Envy?
Yes, I mean it. Oh, if only I could settle down in the country miles from anywhere and simply do nothing all day long but cultivate my garden and watch the seasons change. It's the only dignified way of living. I'm quite convinced of that. Now, I must rush. We're all shockingly late. Goodbye to you all. I have so enjoyed meeting you, all of you.
Goodbye.
Oh, where is Mr. Winterhouse?
He went out for a walk.
Oh, well, do tell him... No, just say goodbye to him for me, will you? Goodbye.
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 There. They've gone.
3 days and a bit.
I can't help laughing when I think of last night. Poor girl. Ah, here's Mr. Winterhalter. Now the party's complete. Mrs. Lancaster told us to say goodbye to you for her.
Oh. Oh, thank you. It's very kind of her.
Last night I heard her inviting you to stay with her in London, didn't I? I hope you go. I should love to know what sort of establishment they keep.
I think that was just one of those invitations that people make rather late at night.
Ah, lunch.
I hear a welcome sound.
He always says that. I hear a welcome sound.
Do I?
Yes, you don't notice it, perhaps, but you do, doesn't he?
We all have our pet habits.
That's true. After you, Mrs. White.
Please, go on.
And this always happens, doesn't it? I say after you, and you say please, go on.
Coming, Winterhalter?
Yes. Yes, I'm coming.
Ah, well. Forward.
Winterhalter. Colonel Dummkopf.
I suppose it's too late, is it? They have gone.
Yes, they have gone.
Oh. I found this coat in Miss Landy's room with a note. Dear Miss Daly, I'm leaving this coat behind in the hopes you may find some use for it. T.L. I suppose this is left as a tip. How can she imagine I can accept a present like that?
I don't know. Do you like the coat?
Yes, of course I like it.
Well, if you send it back, you will probably hurt her. Is that what you want to do?
I don't know. When one is unhappy and disappointed for a long time, one's heart seems to shrink, so that there's no room in it for gratitude and pleasant feelings. I shall keep it. I shall sit down and write as nice a letter as I possibly can, thanking her for her generosity and kindness. I shall try for once to be a little generous. What am I crying for? What a miserable couple we are. Poor Julius. You know, I begin to think that the only sin in life is to be unhappy. How shameful it is to sit here in the sunlight
nursing our little sorrows as if they were important.
What a fool I have been. Oh, what a fool.
Never mind. Never mind.
That was Waters of the Moon by N.C. Hunter, starring Marjorie Westbury as Helen Lancaster. It was broadcast as the BBC's tribute to Miss Westbury, who died last December. And it was the play she chose to appear in to mark her 50th year as a radio actress in 1983. The rest of the cast was as follows. Mrs. White, Mary Wimbush. Mrs. Ashworth, Patricia Hayes. Evelyn, Rosalind Shanks. Julius Winterhalter, Martin Jarvis. Robert Lancaster, John Pullen. Tanetta, Pauline Siddle. Mrs. Daly, Jane Wenham. John, Alex Jennings. And Colonel Selby, Michael Bilton. The pianist was Mary Nash. Waters of the Moon was adapted for radio by Molly Hardwick and directed by Graham Gould.